Who wants a bunk bed, Bill? There's never been a better time to sign up for a yearly EPP, Extra Podcast Person membership to Real Ghost Stories Online. Right now, when you become a yearly EPP, you'll get 1 month free membership to our EPP programs. You'll also be able to claim your very own Bunk Bed Bell. Plus, you'll be doing your part to help keep our show on the air.
It's amazing. It's all amazing. We feel so much better.
A show that helps thousands of people worldwide.
Thanks again for providing this outlet and making it so non-threatening.
Feel not so alone with their haunting experiences.
You guys are amazing. We listen to you all the time.
Become a yearly EPP now. Get a free month of our EPP membership and get your very own Bunk Bed Bell.
Hurry though, supplies are limited.
If you're currently a monthly EPP, then upgrade your membership now to a yearly membership and get your Bunk Bed Bell and a free month of EPP membership to Real Ghost Stories Online.
I think it's important for people to be able to have a place where they can share their experiences and validate them because these things are real.
Sign up now to be a yearly EPP at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yes, it is. The phone number is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, you can also write it on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or you can always email me your audio file, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. So lots of ways to get those stories and experiences over to us. Of course, social media, we're there too. Real Ghost Stories Online at Facebook, Twitter at Ghost Story Radio, Instagram. We are there as well at Ghost Podcast, Snapchat too, at Ghost Podcast, if you want to find us anywhere out there in the world of social media. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing lovely. I had an interesting dream over the weekend, and I told you about that.
Yes, you did.
Where, although this is not, this is not a Monday show, I believe, by the time it airs. But anyway, when we're recording this, it's a Monday. I've talked about this on the show before where in dreams, there's like this whole other like world I go to sometimes. And it has like its own streets, its own areas. And I could tell you what's up that road and what's up this other road based on previous dreams where I had a dream I was there. So anyway, I was having a dream this weekend. Just a normal like day at the beach is what was going on in the dream.
Mm-hmm.
And in the dream, I was thinking, oh, I've been here before. This was, we came here a long time ago. And there's some shops up the road right over there. And that's right over here. And then I woke up going, I've never been there. As far as I know, this place does not exist. But I knew that I had dreamt about it in the past. I was having a memory of a previous dream I was not conscious of in the dream. And it made me start to wonder just how well, I knew the areas. It's like, does this place exist somewhere? Is this something where it's like, it's out there and I'm seeing it? I don't know.
I think it might. And we're going to have probably somebody call in saying they saw a ghost that looked strikingly like you.
That's what I'm wondering. You know, it's like, yeah, we were at the beach and it sounds exactly like you described it. And we thought we saw a ghost there the other day.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of how it feels. It's just weird. But it was a very interesting beach. It was like extremely steep, almost like a sand dune.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes right down to the water. Not super large in terms of like length of beach, but probably about half a mile maybe, or maybe a quarter. And then there was kind of road and parking up there and then lots of wooded area around. If anybody knows where this is or what this is, let me know or send me a picture. I tried Googling it. So I was just going to like shit myself essentially if I Google this and then suddenly it's like, oh my God, there it is, you know?
Right.
Like I had no idea. The only thing that came close was like the Sleeping Bear sand dunes and their beach area in northern Michigan, which I know I lived up there at a time, but I never actually went to them.
Mm-hmm.
So I know it wasn't something where I'd been there.
Okay.
So I don't know. It was odd. It was weird. And it's just kind of creepy. So there you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. And speaking of dreams, by the way, I should analyze this on that show. Dream Meanings, the other podcast that's going out there now, is you can listen to it. You can listen to the first episode at ghostpodcast.com. It's not out there for the general public or for everybody in the world yet, but that will be there shortly. But right now we're putting it out there at ghostpodcast.com as we create the first handful of episodes. So if you want to in on that and hear that before everybody else, check that out on our EPP website at ghostpodcast.com. That in addition to the EPP episodes every week, it's just even more stuff
right. You
get for being an EPP. First caller, hi.
Hello. My name's Sam, and a long time ago, in the late 90s, there was a plane crash by in the city of Hawthorne at the Hawthorne Mall. And me and my friend went over there and picked up some leftover debris. They took the plane away, but there was scrap metal and little pieces of backseat gas and all kinds of stuff left on the floor. And we started collecting it because we wanted to show our friends that we saw the plane crash. It was a small plane, but three people on the plane got killed. And anyways, we collected all the plexiglass and stuff like that. And he had a bag, plastic bag full of stuff, and I had a bag full of stuff. And so I went home, and I was showing it to some friends. And they said, what's wrong with your face? And I go, what's wrong with it? And they said, it's all dark. And I said, oh, really? I go, I don't know. I'll go look in the mirror. And I went inside of my house, and I noticed that I had a bunch of soot from the plane crash. And so I decided I was going to take a shower. And so I went inside the bathroom, take a shower, and I was done taking the shower. And all of a sudden, the hairs in my body stood up, and I got goosebumps from head to toe. And I was thinking, why am I feeling like this? You know, why is this happening to me? And then after that, I had a feeling like somebody was looking at me. And I said, I got to get out of this bathroom. So I opened the door to walk into my bedroom, and I saw a ghost walk right in front of me. It looked just like a shadow. It was a big, dark, black shadow. You could see the outline of the body, and it just walked right in front of me and like toward the front door. And so I got scared, and I went outside of my bathroom to see who was that and where it was going, and there was nobody there. When I got out of the bathroom and looked around the corner, it was gone. But I think that the ghost probably came home with me because of the debris that I got from the plane crash. And I think that some of the blood had spilled on parts of the plane, and we probably collected it, and the spirit came home with us. Anyways, my name's Sam, and that's my ghost story. This occurred in Hawthorne, California, by the Hawthorne Mall, right behind the Hawthorne Mall. The plane crashed between the Hawthorne Mall and the Taco Bell. Anyways, I hope you use my story. And I'll call back because I have another ghost story that occurred to me like in the 1980s. But I'll call back to that one. I don't think I have time to tell you. Thank you. Bye.
And what did we learn from that story?
We don't take things from the sites of deaths.
Yeah, it tends to make things happen.
Mm-hmm.
To say the least. That would be creepy and freaky. And really, you know, I know he was saying maybe there was blood on there. I don't think it has anything to do with there being blood or not being blood. I think it's really just it was part of this thing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't necessarily think you need bodily fluids of any sort on the piece that you're collecting from the horrific incident to make it be haunted by the individuals who passed.
Yeah. Yeah. You know?
This is kind of a morbid one, but it's along those lines, and I'm just throwing it out there, and maybe someone can enlighten me. But there are a ton of memorials to 9/11 mm-hmm. all over the world, really, for that matter. But there's a lot of them in, you know, any town USA has a memorial. You know, you see it if you drive through. A lot of times these memorials have like pieces of the structure, or there's a piece of steel or something from, I've seen it, everything from things from the Pentagon, things from, New York City, all different variations on these memorials. And I'm not in any way faulting memorials or saying they're bad. I'm just curious about this same sort of thing going on, where has anyone around these memorials outside of where the events took place? Because I'm sure those areas are, you got hauntings there. We've even had stories of that. Mm-hmm. But I'm wondering, has there ever been anything with any of the memorial areas where there's pieces like this? Essentially, I'm not saying a piece of a plane, a piece of the building, pieces mm-hmm. of that. Has there been stories of people seeing anyone, hearing anyone, hearing anything odd, paranormal, unexplained around those sites?
And I think that would be very hard, because most of those are, they're large. They're not anywhere near a private residence most mm-hmm. of the time. They're usually in, you know, a park or a public mm-hmm. building or yeah. something like that, where you would see people anyway. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to know, are there somebody, you know, taking a moment to
mm-hmm.
stop and look at this, or is it somebody that just materialized? And,
yeah, because it can be a very somber thing. It's not like, you know, most people are going to be fairly respectful and whatnot around it. But you're right. I mean, you could, if you're not used to seeing it or something. And I just wonder if something more definitive, if anyone's like, it's kind of like a translucent person there, or they're hearing something. I'm just curious.
Well, you know, that's a good question. I think it's a little bit different than like the plane story we just had.
Okay.
Because that's a small plane.
Sure.
And you and I have lived in Wichita long enough to mm-hmm. know everybody and their brother had a plane.
Yeah.
And if you have a plane, you treat it like your baby.
Sure.
You love that thing. So mm-hmm. I could see, because of the connection to that item,
mm-hmm.
that being more ripe for a haunting
sure.
than a part of a building.
Although, you know, you got to think of it though this way. I mean, some, you know, obviously, a lot of businesses there, and it very, very much depends on the individual mm-hmm. who was working there. You know, some of those, you know, places, I'm sure you have people who are very passive at their jobs, and some of them who this was their second home.
Yeah.
You know, so I could see where there's also a very intimate connection there with, you know, again, depending on the individual. So I don't know. I'm just curious.
Yeah.
Very curious as to see if there's anything around that. So I'm sure we'll get some stories and we'll let you know.
Okay.
855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Let's go to another caller. Hi.
Hey, Tony. Hi, Jenny. How are you guys? So I actually called in a few weeks ago with a story, and about, I think it may be 3 weeks ago, last week, something happened that it's immediately when it happened, I thought, oh my God, like I cannot wait to call Tony and Jenny and tell them about this. Like it was just crazy. So, I'm not going to say my name or where I live, just because, what I'm going to say, I'm a nurse, and if anything violates like HIPAA, I don't want that to come back on me. So, but I'm a nurse in the Midwest. That's all I'll say about that. So I'll just get right into it. I work at a nursing home. I work nights, so that's also something else that's a little bit more creepy about it. I have always worked night shifts, so it's not, when I first got into it, it wasn't as, you know, creepy as everyone said. But definitely the creepy feeling every now and then, you know, there's a lot of deaths. These people are in their 70s, 80s, 90s. Early 100s, you know, people die. That's what happens. So, I mean, you're kind of aware that there's death literally happening every day, that, you know, something is probably there. And at the time, it's just something you can't explain, but maybe just like the feeling like I'm being watched, or, you know, something like you can just feel like you're not the only person in the room, basically. So this story happened last week, like I said. So when it's like break time, working nights, you know, it's really hard to make it through the night sometimes without sleeping. I'm also in school, so it's hard to, you know, make it through when you're up all day. And so I'll take my break, and sometimes I'll go to like a couch or whatever. This particular night, the building I work in is being remodeled, so a lot of the areas are blocked off. So I didn't have my regular nap couch, and I thought, there's a resident who, she's not really alert and oriented. She just kind of sleeps and minds her own business, and she has a recliner in her room. And I thought, and she, you know, she likes to be around people. I just thought, you know, she wouldn't mind if I went in there and slept in her recliner for like my 30-minute break. She, you know, she likes somebody else being there. So I go in there, and I just got in her recliner. Her room was kind of creepy just because I've been there for almost 4 years, and I know a lot of people who have died in the room, at least 8 or 9. So that already, you know, is a little creepy, but I don't think about it much anymore, to be honest. So anyways, I was leaning back in the recliner. I had just, you know, I was just in that middle stage of falling asleep. I was started when you started to think about something and when you kind of realize you're falling asleep. So I was about half asleep, I would say, and I just felt it got freezing. The room was so cold. I didn't have a blanket or anything. I just thought, oh my God, has it been this cold this whole time? And it was just like ice cold. Like I could see my breath, but I was asleep, if that makes sense. I wasn't actively thinking, oh wow, you know, I just remember feeling like so cold and I had goosebumps. I think I drifted off to sleep after that, you know, like fully asleep. And next thing I knew, I felt something that I cannot explain. I've never experienced this, but basically I felt somebody from behind, the chair, not behind the chair, behind me, just a huge jolt and like a shove. Like when somebody shoves you from behind, you can just feel it, and it takes a minute for your body to catch up to you, you know? So I just got, and I just jolted, and I mean, at least a foot, my whole body moved, and I just woke up, and I thought, what the hell, like, what in the world? I thought, the immediate reaction was when you fall asleep, and you feel like, you know, when you, that jumping feeling, but I specifically felt hands on the back of my back, push shoving me, like, with all their strength, and I got, I mean, I didn't waste any time. I jumped out of the chair. I walked out of the room as fast as I could. I didn't repeat it. I didn't say anything. I was far too freaked out to even want to mention anything that happened. I didn't go in the room for the rest of the night. I was so shaken up, and I just thought, what in the world? I've seen ghosts. I've experienced spirits. I've experienced stuff like that. Never have I felt a presence on me. Like, never have I felt hands or that type of, like, that type of presence. I don't even know how to explain it. Like, literally felt some hands on me. I was just mortified. So, whew, yeah, it was crazy. I got home. I told my husband about it as soon as I got there. I was like, I can't even believe this. And he was, like, totally in shock, but he's also a huge believer. And, you know, he said, well, that's what happened. Like, you know, you were in somebody's room, and you know, somebody probably had lived there for a few years. That was her room. That was her space. That was her recliner. You know, that was her. And I was in there, and I was invading her privacy, and she did not like it, and she wanted me out. So, whew. Yeah, that's it. I love your guys' show. Keep doing what you're doing. It's super entertaining on my long nights at work. I should probably find something a little bit more bubbly to listen to, but that's my podcast of choice. So, yeah, thanks, guys. Have a good one. Bye.
I don't know if it was a "this is my space, get out" kind of thing, or if it's a "hey, are you okay" kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's. I still think something, you know, touched her and tried to wake her up, but who knows what the intent was.
Might not have necessarily been bad.
No.
Just more so, hey, I can help. Are you okay? You know,
right.
Like along those lines. But still, when it's a ghost, it can get disturbing very quickly. 855-853-4802, the phone number to call into our show here at Real Ghost Stories Online and share your experiences with us. Hey, as you know, lots of people support our show by being EPPs. We greatly, greatly appreciate that. One of our listeners who supports our show also has a website with some interesting stuff on there, especially if fashion is your thing, fashion in the line of goth, metal, rocker, or steampunk. They have pretty much one of the best selections online, on the web. The website is altfashion.biz. It's Kitty's Alternative Fashions. She offers all sorts of great stuff, including free shipping and lower prices than most other alternative fashion websites. If that's your thing, you're probably aware of how pricey that can be to essentially stock your closet and get the stuff that you want. Highly suggest checking out her website, altfashion.biz. That's altfashion.biz. More options than those mall stores, and some of the best prices out there as well. And you can't beat free shipping. That's always nice. You get your cart filled up, you figure out what you want, and then, hey, look, there's no crazy shipping charge. So check it out. Good prices, good stuff. If that is your style, that's a good place to check out. And she's a big supporter of the show, so I want to thank her for that. Altfashion.biz is that website. Let's go to another caller. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny, this is Ryan M. from Covina, California. Called in about a month ago with the story I had about my friend who passed away and came to me in a dream. But I decided to call about another incident that happened to me and my friend Jordan in around 99, the year 2000. I was 15, so one weekend Jordan's folks were going to be out of town with his little sister, and his other siblings were going to be out of the house as well. So we were going to have the house all to ourselves. And that meant a night of TV, video games, all around goofing off, you know, everything a typical teenager does. So I go over his house late afternoon, early evening that weekend. And, you know, we order a couple pizzas, turn on some movies, just hang out for the night. Till, you know, eventually we get tired and we go to bed in his room. So the way his house is laid out is his den, which was the room we were in the whole night, was sort of like the main hub of his house. To the left of the den was a laundry room, which broke off into his room and other bedrooms. And to the right was a kitchen, living room, master bedroom, and some other rooms. So in the middle of the night, maybe I'd say around 3 a.m. I can't really recall what time it was, but it was late. Anyway, we both wake up exactly at the same time. I'm talking right on the dot. We just wake up in a startle, and we hear low, deep, inaudible mumbling in his den. Through the wall that, you know, shares his wall that shares the den, it sounds like at least a couple of grown men, but we can't make out what they're saying, and we're petrified, and we're too scared to move. But the voices get louder and closer to his bedroom door, and we know all the doors in his house were locked along with the windows, so there's no way for someone to get in. We didn't hear any crash or anything that sounded like someone was entering the house. So the voices get closer and closer to his door, and I swear, through the light under the door, I saw a shadow of feet, and by now the voices are right in front of his door, and there's still just a mumble. We couldn't understand what it was saying. Now, we were scared shitless and too scared to even move and lock his door. But somehow I muster up the courage, crawl to his door and lock it as quietly as I can. But in the process, I jiggle the handle just a little bit, you know, because I'm locking the door. And as soon as I did, the voices fell dead silent and we both freeze And all of a sudden we hear what sounded like a group of maybe 10 pairs of legs stomp and clomp and run through his house, straight through his living room. And this is the crazy part. I swear all the doors in his house shut all in unison, and the house shook violently and then dead silent. You know, we sit, and then me and him, we're sitting there just not knowing what to do, if we should call the cops or call his parents. I mean, we were there for, it seemed like forever, but I'm sure it was just maybe 20 minutes, 30 minutes. But eventually we get up, cautiously search his house, find nothing. No sign of a break-in, no footprints, no nothing. We didn't know what to think. So, you know, we go into his kitchen, grab some Cool Whip, put on Dumb and Dumber, and eventually fall asleep. But yeah, that's my second story for you guys, and I hope you enjoy it, and I'd like to get your input on what you think it might have been. Yeah, you guys do great. Keep up the good work, and you guys have a great day.
It was a ghost encouraging you not to watch Dumb and Dumber.
I think Cool Whip and Dumb and Dumber is a good way to get over a haunting.
That is true. That's a good way to
I don't know.
Move on.
Why there was a herd of ghosts in that house. You know, that's that's kind of crazy that they were that noisy and close all the doors all at once. And it makes you wonder if it's a residual from something else.
It's kind of creepy where it's able to do that to all the doors and such. I mean, I know something you got to think about, too, is, you know, the pressure in the house. Could it have that have been something that's playing into this? That does happen.
Yeah.
I remember my parents' house, the I didn't have any haunted experiences there. But if you didn't understand how some of those doors worked, and this sounds like he was at his friend's house in this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And if you don't necessarily understand how that works in some houses, because not all houses do this or are the same, especially in summertime, if you have like a patio door open or something and then you shut it, that pressure will change. And if the doors are as light as they were in my parents' house, they were just kind of the hollow core, light doors,
yeah.
Very light. So it was very easy to open and close them. You've seen them. Same doors. And in pressure, very often, all of them would slam at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just how they were. They were not like they didn't drag, so they were ready to go.
Sure.
And that would happen. And had you not been aware of that, I could see going, what the hell was that?
Yeah.
It made you jump still, I mean, but you knew what it was.
But still all the
other
sounds,
stuff.
The footprints and everything. It makes you wonder if something opened a door and that caused all the doors to slam.
That's what I'm kind of getting at in my own weird roundabout way, is I'm wondering if it's using what it knows exists to fear or incite fear. Because the other parts really can't be explained, but the door is possibly. 855-853-4802. Hi.
Hi, guys. My name is Michael. Just kind of figured I'd call in and give one of my stories that's happened to me and my wife and my daughter. Sorry for any noise. I'm actually driving home from work right now. Basically, about 2 years ago, we were living in sort of small town up in the eastern side of Ohio, and we were living in this two-story house that was converted into three different apartments owned by the pastor of my mom's church. And right when we moved in, my wife, who's dabbled in a different cult throughout the years, she automatically did not like the house. Right behind the house was basically a baseball field. And the small town, that, I mean, there was one stop sign. There was no stoplight. There was a stop sign. So, I mean, we were out there. And during that time, my daughter, who at the time, I believe she was four, started having an imaginary friend. No big deal. Until one night she had a nightmare and came to our room, which her room was kind of really the living room because we're down on our luck and all I could afford was a one bedroom. So she came into our room and was laying in between me and my wife on our bed. And my wife was asking her, well, what was your nightmare, honey? And she told us that Lily would not stop talking. We don't know a Lily. And then she rolls over and looks at me and goes, Lily doesn't like you, Daddy. I didn't pay any mind to it. Just my personality. I didn't care. Then my wife continued to ask questions. I don't remember exactly how it came up, but she said that Lily Kroll, my wife, asking, okay, so is Lily a baby? She goes, no, Lily Kroll's on the walls, and that piqued my interest. I don't believe in ghosts or spirits. At the time, but it still piqued my interest, and I, you know, what do you mean? And with a dead serious face, she looks at me and tells me that Lily watches me sleep, and that she doesn't like me. Needless to say, I didn't sleep the rest of that night, but we would hear, bare footprint or footsteps on the tile throughout the house, and that always just creeped me out. Always just chalked it up to the wind. Until one night, probably about 3 months after, you know, the initial Lily was initialized, I guess. I had come home from work. I was working third shift, and I had left early because I wasn't feeling well. So it's probably about 2 in the morning. I get home. My wife and my daughter are over at her mom's house out of the area, and nobody else was home. Even the other tenant that lived in the house, she was at work because I actually worked with her. And through the window of the kitchen, which was really our front door, I seen something move, and that scared me. I didn't really think it was a spirit or anything. I figured that, you know, somebody had broken into my house. I actually kept a gun in my car, so I walked back to my car and grabbed my gun and started looking through the house. My dad, being ex-military, taught me how to secure rooms. So I'm going through there, clearing the house. And in my living room, when I turn the corner, there's a little girl that is standing in the middle of my room, and not full body apparition, but I could definitely see her. And she just looked at me, nothing really weird about her, but looked at me and smiled and then was gone. Needless to say, I left the house that night. I went to stay somewhere else. But that's really the end of that story. We ended up moving about 3 months after that, just because of that. So if you guys like it, a couple of years ago.
And he kind of breaks up there, but.
Oh my gosh. That's a little bit more than just an ornery ghost, I think.
She literally crawls on the walls. Ugh. She watches you sleep.
She doesn't like you.
It's like something straight out of a horror movie.
Yeah, That's everything you don't want to hear from a haunting.
Oh, that's what I should train Harper to tell people.
No. No.
Honey, when we see mommy later today, what are we going to say to her?
She had something for me earlier. I don't remember what, but I was like, who told you that? Oh, it was the Girl Scout cookies. She goes, you know what Girl Scout cookies are made out of? What? Girl Scouts.
Yeah, I was teaching her that last night. It was, and that's from Adam's family. Remember that?
No, I didn't know that.
That's where it was, you know, the Girl Scouts are trying to sell the cookies to Wednesday. That's the girl in that movie, right? And the girls, and they made with real Girl Scouts.
Well, when your four-year-old's munching on a Thin Mint and she's got it all in her teeth and it looks creepy and she asks you, and she says that, it's just really fun.
These made with real Girl Scouts? They're delicious.
Yeah.
She had one to me yesterday where it was, I hope you're happy with all the poor decisions you're making. We were playing Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you're satisfied with all the poor decisions you've been making.
Yeah.
Because I kept dying on Mario. And she just looks over me and says that to me. She's four. So I can't wait till she's older and the horrible thing she's going to be saying.
Yes.
Horrible. It's going to get bad. But hey, it'll make for some great stories on the show. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey there, guys. This is, I'm actually going to stay anonymous. So I have a bridezilla on my hand. She is wanting us to go to somewhere. I can't specify the name of it exactly, but it's haunted. And it's a hotel, and it's one of the most haunted rooms in the hotel that we are staying in, which I'm totally cool with. I'm cool with going there and, you know, getting the experience and feeling it, you know, whatever. I like to spook myself out and whatnot, but I think it'd be fun. But I brought up, is there going to be a Ouija board? And lo and behold, she said, this is my bachelorette party. And yes, we are going to be doing a Ouija board, which I'm not cool with at all. That shit, I don't mess with. I don't do that. Yes, I will stay the night in a haunted hotel room, but I am not going to play I'm not going to play the Ouija board. Not doing it. So I don't really have anyone else to vent to but you guys, because anyone that I've told so far, they laugh at me and they're like, it's a kid's board game. And they just, like, they laugh at me. Like, I'm stupid. And I'm not, because I've had experiences with Ouija boards and I don't like to fuck with them. I just don't. So I'm thinking about definitely possibly not going, even though she's one of my really, really good friends. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Guys, I need advice. Y'all have to help me. Y'all have to help me. Help me out. Okay. I love you guys. And I hear from you guys, listeners, anyone, any advice you guys could give me, or I don't know. She was like, you can leave the room while we do it. But it's like, if something does come out of this, which most likely it will, then it's still going to reside in the room that I'm going to be sleeping in. I don't know. I don't know. Everyone's like, well, you're going to a haunted room anyway, so there's going to be stuff happening anyway. And I'm like, yeah, but not a damn Ouija board. Not evil shit. Like, come on, guys. Like, it's a ghost girl and a woman that walks the halls. Like, we're not dealing with demonic beings coming through a damn board game. Like, this fucking board game. I don't know. Oh, sorry for all the F-bombs. But I'm just very anxious and nervous. So, yeah. Y'all give me feedback. I love you guys so much. Thank you for what you do. Y'all are amazing. Okay. Thank you. Bye.
I'd say one upper and bring an exorcist and a real possessed person to the party.
Well, it sounds like she's in a real tough spot because she doesn't want to break this friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would go, but I would not put my hands on the planchette or do anything, you know, to participate with the Ouija board. Because if they do and something comes through in the haunted room and everything, chances are they're going to get what they have coming.
I think it could still be affected just being in the room, though, if it's going to happen.
Yes, but it's kind of like what's worse, having an effect on you for the night while you're there, or...
Mm-hmm. Be cursed for the rest of your life and have...
Or losing this friend, or, you know...
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I don't know.
I say, one-upper. Priest and a real possessed person. Like, I know you guys wanted this and to do the Ouija board and this haunted hotel, but you know what? I really, you know, you're going to have this big special day. Let's make it real special. Here's what I brought. From Rent an Exorcism. It's like Rent-A-Center, but it's Rent an Exorcism. It's the newest craze. Rent an Exorcist.
If she's a bridezilla and she's doing this and she's kind of like, well, it's my party and we're going to do it, I can't think that she's got the best intent going in her mind. So it might be interesting to see what happens.
Let us know. Keep us posted. 855-853-4802 is our number. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Jay from Auckland, New Zealand. My father passed away when I was almost 13 years old. And that would be about almost 25 years ago now. Recently, I think it was probably a few months ago, I'd been missing my dad. And I was... Excuse me. I was driving to see a friend of mine who lives in a suburb called Blockhouse Bay. And to get there from where I live, I have to go through an area where my dad actually used to work. I've got a really poor sense of direction. I have to go somewhere multiple times before I can happily remember the way to go. So I put her address into my GPS so that I'd get there quickly and not be late and for meeting up with her. And her address is on a road called Blockhouse Bay Road. So I put in Blockhouse Bay Road into my GPS and then set off on my way. And as I was traveling, I suddenly realized, oh gosh, the GPS is bringing me quite a strange route. But I thought, well, I trust the GPS more than I trust me, so I'll just go with it. And it took me past my dad's old work. Whereas usually it should have taken me, on another route where I would turn off before I got that far. So anyway, I'm driving along past my dad's work and then it told me to turn right. And I thought this does seem a bit strange, but I kept driving. And then it took me up a road where, I remember when I was about 11, I was riding my bike along this road and my dad happened to be on a lunch break from work and drove past me, and so he stopped and picked me up and we went and had lunch together. And so I was just having these little memories coming up as I was navigating towards my friend's house. And then the GPS told me to turn left, where I knew this wasn't right. I was supposed to go straight ahead if I was going to go up this road and carry on towards my friend's house. And I turned left, and the street that it told me to turn onto was called Terry Street. And Terry is my dad's name. And I turned onto Terry Street, and it said, the GPS said, you have arrived at your destination. And I looked in my GPS history and it showed my last entry, which was Blockhouse Bay Road. I had not accidentally somehow put in Terry Street at all. But I just sort of thought, oh, that's a really lovely thing. And then I just stopped and thought for a moment and figured, yeah, that was my dad somehow making contact, I think. Or maybe some part of my subconscious created the experience, because I had been missing him and just needed to have that little bit of recognition and connection. Anyway, that's my story, and I really love your show. I went through a horrible separation about a year and a half ago, and honestly, I was very isolated and terribly, terribly unhappy. And getting up each day, I would think, okay, I'll put Tony and Jenny on in the car and carry on with my day. And it was almost like listening to you two and your beautiful relationship that you have. It was almost like, oh, the closest thing that gave me a sense of family at that difficult time. And I just think you're both really lovely, beautiful people, and really appreciate you. Anyway, thanks, and hello to my fellow listeners, and hope everybody has a good day. Bye.
That is such a sweet compliment.
That is. And thank you.
You know, I think it may have been just a, hey, I'm here with you, mm-hmm, kind of thing, you know? Going through a difficult time and, mm-hmm, and kind of missing somebody. And, you know, GPSs are squirrely, but I think they're probably easily manipulated, just like, mm-hmm, most other things.
Yeah, I mean, I could really see that being what it was. It was just a simple, he knew how to do it, mm-hmm, and this could be an easy way to get a message across. And that's what it was. Pretty straightforward, but that's pretty awesome. I'm glad we could be there, in voice. I was going to say in spirit.
Yeah.
It's kind of, you know, to help you through some of those rough times. But thank you so much for making us a part of your life every day. We greatly, greatly appreciate that. It's an honor to be there and to freak you out. On a totally other part of the world. What is interesting about her GPS story is she failed to mention that it said you've arrived at your destination, but her car was half submerged in a lake. That was the,
yeah,
like Michael Scott on The Office.
Right. Because if you follow it to a T, sometimes things don't work.
Yeah. I mean, I think around here, if I followed a GPS to a T, I'd be driving off a cliff.
It would take you down like a horse path.
It would. It's quite amazing where the, what roads are listed on maps here is yeah, how I should put it, because it's not like you could blink and miss it. You could be staring directly at the road that it says is on the map and you'll miss it.
Yes.
Because it's like, wait a second, there's a freaking tree there. And it's not like it's a tree falling. It's like a fully rooted tree in the middle of the road. And like, I don't believe this has been a road since Oregon Trail. Mm-hmm. Not when the video game came out, literally when Oregon Trail was a thing,
yeah,
a roadway. But some of these roads around this area, it's crazy. GPS will somehow pick them up and think that it can get you to them, even though sometimes there's no way to get to these roads. They're just like abandoned. They're out there and there's no start and there's no end anymore, but they're just there. They're ghost roads.
Yeah,
they really are. It's fascinating. I didn't know that stuff like that even existed anywhere.
Yeah. You
know? But it is. It's just fun looking at Google Earth in the neighborhood sometimes going, well, how the hell do you get there? And you try and track it down like, there's no way to get here.
And then we go hiking and we find
it. Yeah, then you find it. It's good times. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like this thing, become an EPP, extra podcast person, on our website, ghostpodcast.com. Supports our show, keeps us on the air. It's only $5 a month. You get all of the bonus episodes of our show, all 140 40-ish of them as of this point in time. Plus, our new podcast, Dream Meanings. We're posting those there before they go public, so you get an extra show to listen to there. Video content, a new episode of Seeing Ghosts is up and posted and live. And there's a 10, 11, 12, I don't know, a whole bunch of those up there for your viewing pleasure. Ghostpodcast.com. Check it out. Keep us on the air and enjoy. Until next time, for Jenny Brusky, I'm Tony Brusky. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.